This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." This is Sherry Medlock, America's message of truth. So men, women, boys, and girls all over the fruited plain, please open your truth book, your King James Bibles, to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 18, verse 1, where we left off last time. John 18, verse 1. Just before we begin, I want to invite all of you to come to my school on April 16th at 5 p.m. That's a Sunday. That's the day we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Passover Lamb, Jesus. I'm going to do a very special line-by-line teaching from the Bible to give you Jesus' viewpoint from the cross. You're going to be delighted at what was going on with Jesus. You will be amazed. My school is Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida. Come April 16th, 5 p.m., and you will be blessed. Now, the Gospel of John, chapter 18, we're going to have a play. Now, the title of this play is, "It Looks Bad, But God Is Totally in Control." Now, the playwright is God, the director is God, and the main character, the star, is God. That would be Jesus. Now, the supporting actor is Simon Peter. Remember him? He got out of the boat, unlike the other 11 disciples who stood and watched the show, and Peter walked on water. Now, we have a reluctant actor in this play. He does not want to be in this, but God made him, the publisher and director made him be in this, and he is a Roman governor called Pilate. Now, we have the villains, and that's the phony high priest, the Kenites, calling themselves our beloved brother Judah. That would be Caiaphas, and so they are villains. Then we have a motley crew of paid protesters. They get paid to say ugly words to Jesus, kind of like the paid protesters at the Trump rally. Our good President Trump is harassed by that. See, nothing new under the sun. Now, there are a few minor characters, and when they come up, I will introduce them to you. Now, on a stage, you're watching the stage, the spotlight will be on one character, and the light will fade, and then it will be on another character. So, the curtain opens, and the light is on the star, Jesus.
Chapter 18, verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words.
The words that we taught last time, chapter 17, the Lord's Prayer. When he prayed for his disciples, and when he prayed for you who would believe on Jesus by their word.
He went forth with his disciples over the brook Kedron, and these went with him, he and his disciples.
Now, what he went there was a place called the Mount of Olives. The brook Kedron was on the east gate of Jerusalem, near the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus goes there to pray, "Father, if it be thy will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, thine be done."
Verse 2, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place.
Judas Iscariot was going to betray him. Now, the first time for you to realize in this chapter that God is totally in charge, if Jesus were not planning to die, remember he came to die, he would not have gone to a place where the traitor could find him. So he deliberately goes, this is written in the play. It's been written from Genesis all the way through to this time that he would come and he would die on a cross. So he's totally in charge, and Jesus goes to a place where he knows the traitor can find him.
Jesus oftentimes resorted hither with his disciples. 3, Judas then, having received the band of men, and officers of chief priests and Pharisees coming hither.
All right, Judas goes to the phony high priest, and they give him 30 pieces of silver, and he leads this motley crew, people, men. They're not Roman soldiers, and they are just paid protesters. They'll say anything, and he brings them with him.
Lanterns and torches and weapons.
And they have weapons. Remember, they are not a trained army.
Verse 4, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things.
Jesus wrote this play. He wrote this book. He's a director. He's God. He came to die. It was in there. So knowing all this, what does he do? He's in charge, remember.
To come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye?
I love Jesus. I used to, when I was in college, I substituted teaching English. I love good English. Did you notice what he said? Whom seek ye? Well, he's the word. I guess he can speak good English if he wants to. So this is another point to tell you. Jesus is totally in charge. He goes to the people who want to arrest him and have him killed, and he says, do you want me? Here am I.
5. They answered him, we seek Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said unto them, I am he.
The word he in English is put there by the translators. In Exodus, at the burning bush, Moses said to God, the fire, what is your name? And God said, Ayah, Asha, Ayah, I am that I am. Jesus speaks who he is. I am. Can you imagine the strength that went through Jesus' body and soul and spirit, knowing what was before him? But he stood there totally in charge. I am God, and I'm orchestrating this whole thing. Now, when you write a play and you want it to be perfect and everything works out right, you are a success.
And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them.
The other gospel said Judas told the little motley crew, now the one I kiss, that's Jesus, so you can arrest him. So Judas goes up to Jesus, other gospels say, and kisses Jesus. And Jesus says, wherefore art thou come, friend? Beware the kiss of Judas. When the elect, when we are delivered up to the Antichrist who's coming soon, people in the church, half of them will be deceived. The whole world will go after the Antichrist, half the body of Christ, 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. When they deliver us up, they're going to give us the Judas kiss because they're going to betray us to the Antichrist. Don't worry, God's still in charge even of that.
But as soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground.
They were stunned. I mean, we're going to arrest you and kill you, mister. And you're saying, I am, here I am. But you know somewhere in their DNA, for all souls came from God. When you die, as the silver cord breaks, your spirit returns to God who gave it. Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7. Somewhere in their DNA, that registered with them. I am. Do you realize the humor here? Here's Jesus, and they want to arrest him and crucify him, and the people coming to him fall down, and he's still standing. Isn't that a great picture? Having done all to stand. So who's in charge? God's in charge. I'm going to often say to you, who's in charge? What do you say back to me? God's in charge.
7. Then ask he of them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth.
It's like he's saying, let me help you up here, you poor little peons. Let me pick you up here. I know you want to arrest me. Get up on your feet. I am turning myself into you because Jesus is in charge. He came to die.
And Jesus answered and said, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let them go their way.
Just as he prayed in John 17, he prayed for the disciples and for the elect, not himself. Again, the good shepherd always looks out for the sheep. He said, take me, but let them go free. See, the good shepherd always cares for the sheep. Now, some sheep will sit there and let the shepherd be taken and abused and won't say anything. But a good shepherd will always cover the back of the sheep.
9. That the saying might be fulfilled, would ye speak of them? Of them which thou gavest me, I have lost none. Verse 10, then Simon Peter, having the sword, he drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. And the servant's name was Matthias.
Now, other Gospels tell us that the way he sliced it, you know, Peter was a good swordsman. He could have smashed the brain. You know, there was a lot of commotion and moving. He could have slashed his eye or his brain or his nose. He sliced it really great. And other Gospels say Jesus picked up the ear and put it back on. Now, that little motley crew that was coming to arrest them could not have stood a chance if Jesus had told his then 11 disciples to fight. These disciples were fishermen. They would walk 50 miles to go somewhere. They would pull those heavy nets. They would had a daily workout. Two or three of Jesus' disciples could have taken them all down, but Jesus came to die.
11, then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup that my Father hath given unto me, shall I not drink it?
Jesus is not reprimanding Peter. Don't you know it warmed Jesus' heart? Here's somebody. Where were the other 10? Where were they? Where are you when the right is persecuted? Do you still sit and watch the show or hide under the table? Where are you when something's going wrong and when God and God's people are abused? And I know it warmed Jesus' heart. Peter got up and fought. It wasn't the right time, but an elect always fights. And in the world that then was, world Greek Ian age, 2 Peter 3:6, when we were in our spiritual bodies with God, remember when you die, you return to God. When Satan rebelled and said, I will be God, Revelation 12 says, Michael and his angels, children of God, minus the flesh, fought against the dragon and his angels. The dragon is the devil, and that's the other ones who betrayed him. Jesus is so pleased at their elect. They fought then, and they fought in every generation, and the very elect here at the end. We will stand up, and we will speak up, and when we deliver it up to Antichrist, we will not bite our tongue. The Holy Spirit will speak through us, and we will show the world our Lord Jesus, and we will preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus wasn't mad at Peter. He was proud of him, but Jesus came to die. I can handle this, Peter. I came to die.
12, then the band of the captain and the officers of the Jews kept...
Eudas. Every time it says Jews, that's incorrect. There's no such word. In English, it's Eudas. It either means our truly beloved brother Judah, who is just one of 11 tribes, or it means a resident of Judea. In this case, it's the resident. It's the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. They're the descendants of Cain, and Cain is the child of the devil when Satan beguiled Eve in the garden.
Took Jesus and bound him.
Now, they're capturing Jesus, and Jesus came to set the captive free. What a beautiful exchange. Here, I will be captured, says Jesus, and you may go free. The beautiful, great exchange.
He led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year.
Now, Caiaphas was the high priest in the temple, but not appointed by God. He had been appointed by the Roman government, so he was not a God man. Now, here is Jesus. Romans 8 says, sits at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us. Jesus is our high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, and the high priest forever is ordered up before the fake priest. Look at that. Same thing, elect will be delivered up by the very part of the Christian church. Half will be deceived, and we are called kings and priests. They call themselves kings and priests. We will be delivered up to them. It's nothing new under the sun, but it's the great exchange.
14, now Caiaphas was he who gave counsel to the Eudas that it was expedient that one man should die for the people.
Well, remember, we studied that a few chapters back. Caiaphas did not love God or love Jesus, but he did have to study the Torah, the Bible. So he did know that it was prophesied that Messiah would come and die for the people.
15, and Simon Peter followed Jesus.
Okay, now, on our stage here, the light fades out on Jesus, and now the light comes down on Simon Peter.
And so did another disciple. That disciple was known to the high priest.
Now, most people will say that other disciple is John, who is writing this by the Holy Spirit. But John always describes himself as that disciple whom Jesus loved. Here he says that disciple who was known to the high priest. Well, there are two new disciples that did know the high priest Caiaphas because they had been a part of the synagogue, the Sanhedrin. That was Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. So we'll just have to speculate as to which one it was. But some other disciple was there.
He went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. 16, but Peter stood at the door without.
Peter kind of hangs behind. The spotlight on our stage now is Peter. Here is Peter.
Then that other disciple, which was known to the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and that in season. 17, then said the damsel that kept the door.
Now here's a bit player. She's got one line. Not too hard to learn one line. Here she comes. Here's the damsel.
Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples?
She did good. That was her line in the play.
He said, I am not.
Now, Jesus has said, Peter, before the cock crows, you will deny me thrice. That's one.
18, and the servants and officers stood there and had made a fire of coals, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. 19.
Now, that fades out, and the light goes back to Jesus.
The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine.
Tell us of your teaching, Jesus. Tell us who these disciples are, say the phony high priest to the real high priest.
20. Jesus answered him, I spake openly unto the world. I even taught in the synagogues and in the temple, whither the Jews, the Udas, always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. 21. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them.
If they had asked them, they couldn't have found anything wrong. They would say, you know what he does? He heals the lepers. He raises the dead. He feeds the multitude. He opens the eyes of the blind, the ears of the deaf, the lame walk. What a wonderful man.
They know what I said. Verse 22. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers.
Now here comes another minor player.
Goodbye. Struck Jesus with the palm of his hand.
Well, to slap someone on the face is a degradation or humiliation. So Jesus gets slapped on the face. He is humiliated. He is God. But remember, God's in charge.
Answerest thou the high priest so?
Now this man was deceived. See, he actually thought that the high priest were true to representative God. So he was doing what he thought he ought to do. This will be like the Christians who are going to be deceived by the soon coming Antichrist when they deliver us, the elect, who won't worship the Antichrist, up to their churches. They will think they're doing a good thing, but they are deceived. Now, you know Jesus knows this man is deceived. Let's see how Jesus handles that. You know, Jesus could have just wiggled his nose and that hand could have fallen off. Watch what Jesus does.
3. Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil.
If I've done any wrong, just tell me what I've done wrong, Mr. Slapper.
But if not, why smitest thou me?
If I haven't done anything wrong, why are you hitting me? Now, don't you know that that same slapper has already gone back and stood before Jesus? Whew.
24. Now Annas has sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest.
Okay, now that light fades and we come back to Peter.
25. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied and said, I am not.
That's two.
26. One of the servants of the high priest, being a kinsman of he whose ear Peter had cut off.
Uh-oh, this is Malchus' cousin.
Said, Did I not see thee in the garden with him?
Weren't you the one that picked up the sword and sliced his ear off, Peter?
27. Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crowed.
Now, other gospels say that Jesus turned then, so the light comes up on Jesus and looks at Peter. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now, after Jesus died and shed his blood for the remission of our sins, he arose from the dead, and he showed himself 40 days to the people. And one day, Jesus was cooking a fish breakfast on the beach, and Peter came, and Jesus said to Peter, Peter, lovest thou me? And Peter said, Yes, Lord. And the Lord said, Feed my sheep. 1. Then Jesus said, Peter, lovest thou me? And Peter said, Yes, Lord. And Jesus said, Feed my lambs. 2. Jesus said again, Peter, lovest thou me? Yes, Lord, you know I love thee. Peter, feed my sheep. Feed the babies, the little lambs. Feed the milk. Feed the meat of the word. 3 times, because he forgave him for every betrayal. And Peter, I'm still calling you. Even though you fell, I chose you. You just get right back up there, front stage and center, and you do what I call you. I believe in you. What was the song I just wrote and sang? When you fall, he'll pick you up and make you feel 10 feet tall. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
28.
Now, the spotlight goes back to Jesus on the stage. We're having a play.
Led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment.
Now, Jesus is bound in chains. He who came to loose the chains of sin, he is bound so that you could be unshackled and free from all kinds of things, free from alcohol, free from drugs, free from greed, free from pornography, free from self-centeredness, free from pride, free from all of that. And so the chained Jesus is taken to the judgment hall. Jesus is judge. One day he shall sit on the throne, and everyone will pass by the judgment seat of Christ. And now this great judge is chained and goes into the judgment hall to be judged and found not guilty by a sinful judge, and that would be Pilate. Why is that? It's the great exchange, so that when you Christians stand before the great white throne judgment, while they found Jesus guilty, he will exchange, and you may say, not guilty. And Jesus will say, how do you plead? And you will say, I plead. My sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus, the great exchange.
Amen. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they might be defiled when they eat the Passover.
It was time for Passover. Little did any of them know, Pilate or Caiaphas or Annas, that they were right there holding in chains Christ, our Passover, who is sacrificed for us. And they thought they were too good to go into the judgment hall because sinners would go there. After all, they were holy, holy, holy. Huh.
29. Pilate went out unto them and said,
Now, you want to know this about Pilate. Other gospels say that Pilate's wife, the night before, had had a dream, and she said, it's a divine revelation. She said, Darling Pilate, the angel of the Lord said, do not have anything to do with this man. This is a holy man. Now, Pilate believed that the Hebrews' religion was superstition, but he did understand their superstition because he had to judge them. But he looked down on them and did not believe they knew what they were doing. But he did believe that his wife had a gift of dreams. So Pilate, even though He doesn't want to be in this plate. He was drugged into this plate. He's going to try to save Jesus. Listen to how he does it.
What accusation bring you against this man?
What's he done?
The accident said it to him. If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee.
If it weren't a mean person, a bad person, we wouldn't have brought him to you, Governor Pilate.
31. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law.
Judge him by your own superstition, religious, he says. He thought it was a superstition.
The Jews even said therefore unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death.
See, they just show their true colors. We want this man dead. And see, Caesar, the Roman government, would not let the Hebrew people put anyone to death. It had to be the Roman government. So they opened their hearts and said, we want him dead. Nice church people. As my friend said, Christians are all right, but those church folks will kill you.
32. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die.
That he would be crucified on a Roman cross.
33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again.
Pilate goes back where Jesus is to judge Jesus, Jesus the great judge.
And called Jesus and said unto him, art thou king of the Jews?
Are you the king of Judah? Now, Pilate does have to get that answer because Caesar was king. And if anybody else said they were king, they would be put to death. So Pilate's got to, he wants him to say no so he can let him go because Pilate's wife said, don't have anything to do with this man. He's a holy man. Don't touch him, darling Pilate.
Jesus answered, sayest thou this thing of thyself? Or didst others tell it thee of me?
Jesus sounds like they had some kind of media there. You've been listening to the mainstream media, the fake media. Did you think this up all by yourself, Pilate?
Pilate answered, am I a Jew?
I'm not one of them. They don't talk to me. Eudas, Jew, Eudas.
Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?
All right, what have you done, Jesus? I've got to make a decision about you, says Pilate.
36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world.
The world is Greek eon, our age. I didn't come to set up my kingdom in the second earth age. That is not why I came.
If my kingdom were of this world...
Of this age. Remember, there are three earth and heaven ages. We're in the second one, time in the flesh.
Then would my servants fight?
In other words, those 10, they had 10 left there, really 11, I guess. They had 11 with Peter. They could have taken that little motley crew. Jesus could have called down 10,000 of the heavenly host. But no, remember, he's in charge. He wrote this play. And the place says that he will die for the people's sins. So Jesus is totally in charge, totally orchestrating all of this. He is completely victorious.
I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. 37. Pilate then said unto him, art thou a king then?
Okay, are you a king?
Jesus answered, thou sayest, I am a king.
You said it, Pilate. I didn't. Can you imagine they begin to like each other? You know that.
This then was I born, and for this cause came I into this world.
Here's why I came, Pilate.
That I should bear witness unto the truth.
The truth. Jesus says of himself, I am the way, the truth, the life. Many, many times when Jesus would speak, you would read in the Gospels, he would say, verily, verily. Verily in the Greek is of a truth, of a truth. Truth, truth. The truth is that all of sin had come short of the glory of God. And only one perfect sacrifice could be the Passover lamb. And the truth is that I came to die, Pilate. That's the truth, to pay your sin debt.
Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice.
Once an elect who once knew the truth and fought in the spiritual body for God, in every generation, once you hear the truth, a light bulb goes on and you're never the same. your whole life changes forever and ever, and it's a good change. They can put you in oil and boil you. They can put you in a dungeon. You can be in a wheelchair the rest of your life, but you've got something to live for because you found the truth. Hallelujah.
Wait, Pilate said to him, "What is truth?"
What is truth? Well, we learned last week, John 17:17, thy word is truth. And there's the living word standing before him, so truth was right before Pilate.
When he said this, he went out again unto the Jews.
So Pilate's going to try one more time. He goes out to the Eudas, the false priests there. Remember, they say they are Judah, but not. We love our brother Judah. Our brother Judah's not a murderer. These were the phony ones. Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. They say they are Judah, but they are not. They're the synagogue of Satan, the Kenites, descendants of Cain, Cain the child of the devil. If you don't get that, you're never going to get anything. That's why we repeat it.
And said unto them, I find in him no fault at all.
I can't find one smidgen of sin in this man.
39. But you have a custom.
Okay, I'm going to compromise a little bit here.
I shall release one unto you at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews?
Jesus.
40. Then cried they all again and said, not this man, but Barabbas.
Barabbas, Barabbas. Bar in the Hebrew means son. Abbas means father. Whoa. Now, we've got Jesus here. And we got the stage. And we got two men on the stage. And one is the Son of God, Jesus. And one is the Son of the Father. What Father? Malachi 4 says that anyone with the Elijah anointing will tell you there are two fathers. When Satan beguiled Eve, exapatio, as wholly seduced in the garden, Cain was the product. And Cain's descendants are the Kenites. They give our brother Judah a bad name. And Barabbas is the son of that seduction there in the garden. So now, as the curtain begins to close, we have the spotlight on the Son of God, Jesus. And we have the spotlight on the son of the devil, Barabbas. One will live and one will die. Curtain. We'll begin right there next time. But right now it's time for a mystery moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to welcome the owner of the produce place in Sun Tree, Florida. Yummy, yummy. A man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing good, Miss Sherry. It was a beautiful description. Just a beautiful play.
Thank you.
Yes.
A beautiful God.
Amen. Beautiful God. Yes, amen. Okay, our first question comes from Deborah, and she says, my name is Deborah. What does Deborah mean?
It's a beautiful name, Deborah. Deborah in the Hebrew is Debar, and it means to talk, tell, say, or speak the word of God. In the book of Judges, there's a wonderful, beautiful woman named Deborah, and the men would not even go to war unless Deborah talked, tell, spoke the word of God. So Deborah, we love your name. It's Debar. And it means to talk, tell, speak, say the word of God.
Amen. Okay, our next question. Somebody wants to know if you could please elaborate on the word strength.
Strength. Yes, it has different meanings in the Bible, but one of the most prominent, we studied on Wednesday night, we're studying Psalms there, and it means debar shamar. In other words, you lack strength. Debar, speak, talk, tell the word of God, and then you will be shamarred. God is the wall of fire. Shamar brings God, the wall of fire, down around you because you debarred. You spoke the word of God. You spoke the word of God. You sang the word of God. You praised the word of God instead of the troubles. You spoke the word of God. And then you were shamarred with the wall of God, and he becomes your shield, and his word is your strength and your shield.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, you know, Scott, David left his stuff in the cart. And Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the new, very popular segment, ta-da, Scott Stuff.
Thank you. Okay, this is to the hidden ones. You will be invisible to man, but intimate with God. Invisibility will work the cross into your life to the point that there will be no exposed heel nor any strength in the natural man displayed. You can expose your walk before mankind, but there will be no life in it.
Praise the Lord. That is so beautiful. Bless your heart, Scott. That's great. Many of you are calling and you're thanking me for the program, and I thank you that you're also mentioning Scott. Thank you, Scott Merson, owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida. That is good, healthy food. Well, now, if you're not saved, I want you to live with me forever in Father's house. Please pray this prayer with me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Wash my sins with the blood of Jesus.
Wash my sins with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your word.
Fill me with your word.
And use me. To bring many children to the kingdom.
To bring many children to the kingdom.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. 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 In a few moments, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number, and I invite you to call and leave on my voicemail there if you were saved. Say your name very clearly, and I will pray for you. Excuse me. Now I want to pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus by the Holy Spirit, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, that you will arise with healing in your wings. Let the laser beams of healing virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ flow to the north, the south, the east, and west, men, women, boys, and girls, into the brain, into the eyes and ears and sinuses, into the vocal cords, into the lungs. Bronchitis be gone, lung disease be gone, sinuses clear up, throats clear up in Jesus' name, voices come back, vocal cords be healed. Sing, sing, sing. Let you sing again. Let you sing again. You were not able to sing. Sing again in Jesus' name. Let your feet walk. Get up. Take up your bed and walk. Faith is an act in Jesus' mighty name. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, the liver be healed. The liver be healed. The liver be healed. Fibromyalgia be gone. Backbone, spine, pelvis be gone in Jesus' name. Feet and toes. Diabetes be gone. You're diabolical. You have no power there. He said his word and healed. He said his word and healed. With Jesus' stripes you were healed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We give you glory, Father. Now, for those of you who are healed, I invite you to also call and tell me that. Excuse me. But it's time now for your love line of the week, from my heart to your heart. It is a good thing, once in a while, for you to do a little checkup on your thinking. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Whatever you think upon, very strenuously, fervently, and very often, takes a form of life, and you are adding energy to it, and it builds it up. The more you think of your troubles, the bigger they get. So remember that you might need to shift gears, stop that negative thinking, and think on things, as Paul said, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, think on these things. Here's your formula. Thought plus feeling equals a demonstration. And now I think that I love you, and I think I thank you very much for listening to this program. I want you to call me now. My announcer is going to give you my telephone number. Please remember this about Yeshua Jesus, this wonderful great Son of God. Remember that his name is called the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. And in John 17:17, he says, thy word is truth. All of this is given to you not to keep. How selfish to have such a beautiful jewel and only look at it yourself. Go and tell. Tell people of Trumpet of Truth. Tell them the radio program. Tell them to come to my school on Sundays, 5 p.m. and Wednesdays, 6:30 p.m. Go and tell. And let's get this word of truth out to the entire world while we still have a little window of opportunity. God bless you, and I love you. And until next time, this is Sherry Medlock blessing you and telling you to stay in the truth with love.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Like the sun in my heart, even when the night draws near me, there you are. I will wait in the water of mercy. I will walk in the light of your will. Whatever should come against me, teach me to be still.
Try to hide my face. from your sight. That's when you call my name and wrap me within your grace, hidden in your embrace. I lift my eyes. You fearfully and wonderfully made. How could they say there is no God? Reminded every breath that I take, it's by your hand I have been formed. So what am I gonna do with this life you gave me? What could I do but live for your praise? You gave me this breath, and you gave me this strength. And every day I live to obey you with all. Oh, us amazed. The wonders of the way we've been made. Speak of your power and tell of your grace. So what am I gonna do with this life you gave me? What could I do but live for your praise? You gave me this breath, and you gave me this strength, and every day I live to obey you with all.
Home for the very best in contemporary Christian music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt. Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Well, not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. That calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. Because of what I've done, but because of who you are.